At the moment, the Psychology Society of Ireland is holding its annual conference in Wexford. Now, one of the issues up for discussion will be the under-resourcing of CAMHS, C-A-M-H-S, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. It's a problem that's felt particularly acutely down here in the southeast, and Kieran Cuddy has been speaking to some of the people with first-hand experience of the shortcomings, which are gross. Kieran, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
You didn't have to travel far this morning.
No, I didn't, no.
Which is good.
Look, this is an issue. The HSE obviously administers the country by area. So Area 5 is where we are at the moment. And that's what I was looking at. Because there's been several people down here and several different campaign groups who've been trying to highlight this issue, some of those shortcomings with CAMHS that you mentioned. And sadly, there's nothing new in this. They've been banging this drum for quite some time. And just to give people listening a sense of what those shortcomings are and how they affect people, take a listen to Sandra Mulhall. She talked to me about her son John. Now, John has autism, and people will hear that and they'll think autism by itself and a diagnosis doesn't necessitate a visit to mental health services, and we'll come back to that in just a moment, but suffice to say for now, John did ultimately need access to CAMHS, and this is Sandra describing when they needed to access those services, where the shortcomings were, and actually one particular evening when things got very bad.
It got very bad, actually. One night we came home from being out, and there was a bit of an argument in the car, and he went upstairs after me and he caught me around the neck. He didn't want to let me go. He just, you know, had a major outburst. Eventually he calmed down and let me go. And 2 days later then I got him an appointment with the CAMHS team.
When he got that appointment, was he then seen and assessed and treated as he should have been?
Well, he was seen by the CAMHS team. The people themselves, they're wonderful. And he was upstairs being treated by Dr. Moore and the team. And they told my son and me that he had to go down to the Department of Psychiatry, the Adult Psychiatric Ward. And with that, my son got very upset, as any 15-year-old boy would. And he said he wanted to jump over the banister. So they had to restrain him and call the guards in order to keep him safe. You know, he wasn't a criminal. And then he had to be brought down to Waterford in the back of a van.
And to an adult psychiatric ward?
Yeah. And he was brought in there. He was in a small room, a single room with a single bed, not much bigger than the bed itself. He had a nurse with him the whole time. I went down one day to see him. He was curled up on the bed crying. You know, "Mom, just go away and let me die here alone." He was very, very depressed.
Okay, how long did he spend in the adult unit then?
He was there for over 40 days, and he wasn't there because there was a child or adolescent unit that was full. He was there because there wasn't a child or adolescent unit.
At all?
No, and this is the experience right across the region. And look, there'll be people listening from other parts of the country who'll say that's the experience in other parts of Ireland too. So look, staff and administrators and that nurse you mentioned are doing their level best, but just the resources aren't there, or what resources are there aren't directed towards children and adolescents in the way they should be.
So let's get back to the autism issue. Am I right in saying that a diagnosis of autism doesn't automatically mean that you will be referred to the mental health services?
No, you wouldn't be, not automatically. Some would early on, but it's not, it doesn't necessarily happen, because autism isn't a mental health condition, it's a developmental disorder. But it's one of the remarkable aspects of this story, of John's story, and not in a good way, I should say. So look, as you know, and you would have covered it, Pat, there's waiting lists for assessment of needs where children maybe are suspected of having autism or anything else. And then there's a waiting period for disability services to come on board. And when those services engage, be it OTs or physical therapists or anything else, there's not enough of them. And what happened with John was that the symptoms of his autism went essentially untreated or undertreated for so long that he developed in tandem mental health concerns. And this is all set out in two emails that I have here in front of me from Kieran Moore. Now, he's was a consultant psychiatrist with CAMHS down here in the southeast. He resigned in the summer in protest over the shoddy service, and we'll come back to him in just a moment. But if I can just read a little piece of both emails, one of these, and it was dated during the summer that he wrote, he talked about John, and he said the main reason for his homicidal behaviour relates to the manifestations of his autism. And in another email at the same time, and the recipient was the same person, a colleague, he says, if this child had been provided ongoing multidisciplinary evidence-based treatment for autism, it might never have come to this. So essentially what Kieran Moore is saying is that John need never have come on the radar of CAMHS if he had got the treatment and services that he was meant to get as per his assessment of needs. But because he didn't, he ended up displaying homicidal tendencies. And you would know, and I would know covering these stories, you often hear about people talking about suicidal tendencies and suicidal ideation. It's unusual to hear and see it written that starkly, homicidal tendencies.
Now, you spoke to a woman called Caroline Smith. Tell me about her.
Yeah, just lest anyone think John's case is unique. I suppose it's unique maybe in the sense of how extreme, but in terms of butting up against services or trying to find those services, it isn't unique. Caroline told me about her son Luke and what her family experienced when he was sent for an initial assessment of needs and then a referral to CAMHS on the back of it.
We had to get a private psychiatrist to come in because we couldn't wait. I think there was about 2 or 3 years waiting for a public service to come in and assess him. So we had to pay to go private to get him assessed. From there, we were referred to CAMHS, and I think it was 18 months to 2 years we were waiting to get any intervention.
So just to add this up, when you were initially referred to psychiatrist, there was a 2 year wait if you had to have waited.
Yes.
And then another 18 months to 2 years after you were seen and that there was an assessment that there is a need for some intervention here.
Yes.
It'll be in 18 months, 2 years time.
Yeah, exactly. That's correct.
That's extraordinary. Such a long waiting list. And, you know, a child is developing all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe improving, but possibly disimproving radically. Mm. Now, you mentioned Kieran Moore, the psychiatrist, and his resignation earlier. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, he was here in the Southeast for 16 years, but he resigned in protest. He did it before an Oireachtas committee, essentially, is how he announced it during the summer. And at the time, he just talked about some of the issues we've mentioned. He said, look, this is a national emergency. He says, down here in the Southeast, there's huge issues around staff recruitment and retention. And I know you talked a bit about that earlier on the show today with Fergal Hickey in another regard. About that. But the problem, Pat, like in other pinch points of the health system, is that the HSE are actively recruiting for these vacant positions in CAMHS in this region. They absolutely are. They're right when they say that. But I suppose they're hamstrung in the type of package they can offer, and it's not sufficiently attractive or lucrative enough that they have suitable applicants. I mean, like, you wouldn't do the job that Kevin Moore described before that Oireachtas committee resigning in protest, you know, having to send children down to adults facilities, or if someone is suicidal over a weekend, just go into an emergency department and wait until Monday, that type of thing. So that's the professional assessment of the service, Kieran Moore's. But we'll just finish on a personal assessment again, because I met another lady, Jane Johnson, who is involved in the fight for more mental health and disability services for children and adolescents right across the region here.
My main job, I suppose, is caring for my family. I am a full-time carer to two boys. As I said, Evan is 18 now, Daniel is 14. So they're fastly becoming men. So I suppose, you know, but on top of, and I'm also a lone parent, I'm widowed for the last 4 years, but you always have to find time to make many, many phone calls, send many, many emails. And then eventually, I suppose, you find yourself, you know, being invited to a meeting with management. It's quite intimidating. It's not a nice process. It's not something that's consistent, I think, with healthcare. You know, it's not the way we should really be doing things, but it's the way the system is. And I mean, I'm sure those managers would say to you, they're just doing their job, but I'm just doing my job, and it's my job to look after my sons. And, you know, I am very, very adamant to keep my family together. I lost my husband 4 years ago. I'm not losing anybody else.
And that's Jane Johnston concluding that report from Kieran Cuddy. Kieran, thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat.